Blog Talk Radio. Yesterday's winner, or this weekend's winner, Tom Hessert, the third. He's only 25 points out of second. So it's good to see him climbing that ladder. I know everybody's main goal. I'm sure Tommy Hesser is trying to make it to one of the NASCAR series. But right now he's staying in the ARCA series, building up his experience level. Kurzuski, fourth. Thomas Prater, fifth. Kyle Weatherman, sixth. Brad Smith, seventh. Dalton Sargeant is eighth. Mike Basham is ninth. And A.J. Feike rounds out the top 10. Next event for the ARCA series. We'll be at the Salem Speedway. That'll be this Saturday. It'll be at 8 o'clock p.m. for the Eddie Gilstrap Motors Fall Classic. So you can catch ARCA back in action. It's a pretty good series. Always open up our usually NASCAR events. Sometimes they run some solo stuff like this time. They also run solo events at New Jersey Motorsports Park, which is a track that was built over the course of time when I started doing this show at NJC Radio as a fledgling show, and they were talking about the plans and the works, and we had those involved of getting it done, trying to battle the state for permission to where to put it. Of course, the governor at the time, Christine Todd Whitman, wanted it up, was trying to get it up in the Meadowlands, and the people down my neck of the woods in the Millville, Vineland area wanted it down there. I mean, that's where they're from. That's where, as a matter of fact, one of the founders of the track is an ARCA team owner. So it was only fitting that they built it in that half of the state. So if you ever get a chance and you want to make a nice weekend out of it, because I think the ARCA race coincides with around the June Dover weekend. Matter of fact, I will check that out. May 28th. Oh, yeah, it's around Dover weekend. Dover was the week before. And ARCA was the week after. Of course, being from that area, the two race weekends in a week off to the NHRA. We were hoping to get Erica Enders on, but she is probably in the air, so we're going to try to get her for next week because she just wrapped up the regular season in the NHRA. And this weekend at the U.S. Nationals, they had the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, and Courtney Force won that on Saturday in her funny car. NHRA did not run their finals on Sunday. They ran it yesterday, so I didn't have to jam-pack watching a lot of races all at once, so I watched Darlington at night and Sunday night and the NHRA finals for the afternoon. But today things have turned to normal. But in the top fuel division. Came down to Tony Schumacher and Steve Torrence. Tough battle there with Schumacher taking the Wally. And this was a close one. He won it on a hole shot. That's how tight it was. He turned an ET of 3.806, and Torrence beat him time-wise with a 3.803. The only difference is Schumacher's 0.36 reaction time. And Steve Torrance's 0.45 reaction time. So you're basically talking a whole tenth of a second difference, and it turned out to be the difference. Tenth of a second. Difference in the ET was negated by that reaction time. Of course, Schumacher had to go through some tough competition. He went through Tripp Tatum in round one and then Antoine Brown in round two. Brown having a rough time, turning a 4-flat, where Schumacher ran a 378 with an 8, setting up the stage for the semifinals with J.R. Todd. Steve Torrence went through Bruce Litton in round one. He was a number two qualifier. Schumacher was a number four. And then up against Sean Langdon, who who's a former champ himself. And then in the semifinals against Doug Coletta. In the funny car division, the finals came down to Matt Hagen and defending champ Bill Worsham. Matt Hagen being the number one qualifier and Worsham being the number seven. Just hurts you in round one with lane choice, because as you progress, you get the lower ET, you get the lane choice in the next round. So Worsham passed to the finals versus number 10, Alexis DeJoria, and then Dave Richards, who beat fast Jack Beckman. Usually a number 15 qualifier doesn't beat a number 2 qualifier, but traction issues and something happened to Beckman. And he would have gotten beaten by a pro stock car, turning an 823 with an 8. Should have turned a 4-1, a respectable time. Of course, in and then Worsham went up against Ronnie Capps, who's leading the points. So setting up the stage with Matt Hagen, and in a tight race, Matt Hagen with a 3.96 with a 4. Beat Bill Worsham with a 3.95 with an 8. How's that? That a slower ET beat it? The whole shot. Hagen's reaction time, 0.39, Bell Worsham, 0.73. A little lag time when the light goes green. And he's either mashing it on that yellow. If they catch it wrong, you can red light and fault out. Now, Hagen to take the Molly. Of course, Hagen hailing from a little north of here in Christiansburg, Virginia. He's a former champ from a couple of years ago, so he's looking to get the stride back. In the pro stock division, automobile that is, finals come down to Chris McGahey and Alan Johnson. Somebody different in the finals than Jason Lyne and Greg Anderson. Of course, Alan Johnson having a rough year. It'll be his first trip to the finals since at least last year. I think he's been there at all this year. McGahey, one of the team members actually not one of the team members of Anderson line and Bo Butner. Butner had a first round. He was your top qualifier for the weekend. He turned a 6.57 with a 1 to gain that spot. Greg Anderson had the best reaction time of the weekend with a what they call a perfect light with a 0.000. In other words, no lag time in that one. As soon as it went, he went. That was done in 5 as well. I don't see it up on the chart here. But anyway, McDehee had to go through Matt Hartford, the number 8 qualifier. McDehee, number 9. Kurt Steinbach. And round 2, Vincent Nobile. It's probably his toughest competition until the finals. Alan Johnson, on the other hand, had a tougher road to hoe, going up against Drew Skillman in round 1 with a hole shot. 6.66 with an 8 to Skillman 6.66 with a 6. The only difference is reaction time. Johnson with a 0.12 to Skillman 0.45. In round 2, up against Greg Anderson, again, another hole shot win. Alan Johnson with a 6.68 in that one against Greg Anderson, who had a 0.44. Anderson with a 6.65 with a 5 to Johnson's 6.68 with a 3. So, time-wise, Johnson was 0.03 of a second slower, but got to the finish line first. In round 3, more of the same. Johnson with a 6.70 with a 1 versus Shane Gray with a 6.67 with a 3. You think, oh, well, he lost that one? No. Another hole shot win. 3 straight hole shot wins to run him into the finals. The 0.12 reaction time for Johnson, a little bit slower than the round with Greg Anderson, but still fast enough. Was Shane Gray had an 0.40. That you're looking at almost 30 points, 31,000 of a second. But when you get to the finals, it wasn't to be this time. Chris McDehee not only had a 6.68 with an 8 to Johnson's 6.71 with a 5, he also had the better reaction time, basically half of what Johnson had. Johnson with the 0.44, Chris McDehee with an 0.20, so if Johnson would have won in the final round with a hole shot, that would have been pretty phenomenal running the whole event, the elimination event with hole shot wins. But he did get to the finals, and that wasn't a problem. On the pro stock bike, came down to Hector Arana Jr. and Andrew Hines. Hines having to go through Melissa Serber in round 1, Jerry Savoy in round 2, L.E. Tonglet in round 3, facing Hector Jr., Michael Ray in round 1, Chip Ellis round 2, Corey Reed in round 3, and in the final round, he fouled out, tripped the red light, and wound up giving the win to Andrew Hines. So, next event for go through the points as we wind up in. The conclusion of the regular season Tens are as follows: Antron Brown, this is going to be 1 through 10. Antron Brown, Doug Kalita, Steve Torrance, Brittany Force, Tony Schumacher, J.R. Todd, Sean Langdon, Richie Crampton, Clay Milliken, and Terry McMillan. There's a tie there between McMillan and Leah Pritchett for the 10th spot, so there's something right there that needs to be ironed out. In your funny car division, 1 through 10, Lon Capps gets the number one seed, followed by Courtney Force, Del Worsham, Jack Beckman, Matt Hagen, Robert Height, John Force, Tommy Johnson Jr., Tim Wilkerson, and Alec Joria. Of course, the seeding, 30 points between 1 and 2, and then 10 points separate 2 through 10. On the bike side, on the pro stock side of the cars, Erica Enders did it when we last talked to her. She was looking to get into the countdown because of the rough year she was having, so that was the goal. So here's your 1 through 10 seeds as follow. Jason Lyne has the number one seed. Teammates, Greg Anderson, Ben Bo Butner, Alan Johnson, locked in the fourth spot, Vincent Nobile, fifth, Drew Stillman, sixth, Shane Gray, seventh, Chris McGahey, eighth, Erica Ender Stevens, ninth, Kaufman in the top ten. Of course, all the elite motorsports drivers are in the top ten. Vincent Nobile in the fifth spot, he's the highest leading one. And all the John Force Racing drivers locking down countdown positions with Brittany in Top Fuel. She's the only John Force Racing member running that division. And Courtney, Robert Height, and Boss Man in the funny car division. In the motorcycle round, pro stock motorcycle, it's Eddie Krawick and Andrew Hines, always up in the top. Angel Sampe got ahead of Jerry Savoie. She locks in the third spot. Savoie fourth, Ellie Tonglet, the Aranis, Hector Sr. in sixth, Chappella seventh, Matt Smith eighth, Hector Jr. ninth, and Steve Johnson in tenth. So there are your 10 countdown to the championship lock-ins, the countdown beginning in Charlotte 2 weeks from Thursday, Friday. Well, that'll be the September the 16th at the ZMAX Dragway. It'll only be 2 wide this time, not a 4 wide event. That's regular season stuff. So it's available. Go to NHRA.com, find the race, and there's a banner across with the schedule there, and there's a ticket link, and you can go right there. As we head down now, the Camping World Truck Series was up north of the border. Oh, we still got IndyCar yet. IndyCar had their Grand Prix at the Glen, presented by Hitachi, the electronics company. And your pole sitter was Scotty Dixon. It turned out he also was your race winner. Joseph Newgarden took the second spot. Elio Castroneves was third. The fourth, Connor Daly, is a rookie. Sebastian Bourdais, fifth spot. Charlie Kimball, sixth. Simone Pagenaud was seventh. Alexander Rossi was eighth. Ninth, R.C. Enerson, another rookie. So is Alexander Rossi, actually. And 10th, Max Shelton, another rookie. So four rookies in the top 10 at the Glen. The margin of victory was 16.53 seconds. In other words, it wasn't even close. The average speed was 119 miles per hour. 8 lead changes, 9 caution laps, only 3 cautions for 9 laps. Speed was 144.5. Time of the race, hour, 41 minutes and 39 seconds. They only ran 60 laps. NASCAR runs 90 at the Glen anyway. And I think the race is a little more fun to watch. Gets a little cranky there. The points leaders, number one, Simone Pagenaud. Second place, Will Power. Third, Scotty Dixon, the winner. Fourth, Elio Castroneves. We have a dead tie in points there. They rank him fourth. I guess there's the tiebreaker. Maybe it's the wins. Usually it's the wins over anything else. Fifth, second place finisher, Joseph Newgarden. Sixth, Tony Kanaan. Seventh, Graham Rahal, who won the last race. Ninth was some little background noise coming through from the home base there. Ninth in the points is Charlie Kimball. And rounding out the top 10, James Hinchcliffe. Car season, of course, all seasons getting a little closer. Toward the end of the season, NASCAR itself getting close to the chase. Camping World Truck Series up this week in Bowmanville, Ontario, at the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park for the Chevy Silverado 250. Race number 15. So I think they only run 26 during the season. And a little bit of an event at the end of the race. John Hunter Nemechek and Cole Custer doing battle. And John Hunter did run Custer up the track. And needless to say, Hunter was able to get around Custer and take the checkered flag. And at the end of the race, Cole Custer comes running up with a flying tackle on the John Hunter Nemechek, and the hockey game broke out. Nah, just kidding. They got to scuffling, and needless to say, made for some interesting entertainment. I mean, the 66-lap race with a margin of victory of less than half a second. 0.34, actually. It was that close of a finish anyway, and one just got upset that the other took the win. Anyway, Daniel Hemric taking the third spot. Veteran Matt Crafton in fourth. Christopher Bell in fifth. Tyler Reddick, sixth. Seventh, Johnny Sauter. Ben Kennedy, ninth. Cameron Haley, rounding out the top 10, William Byron. Travis Kloepel was in the race for our friends at Make Motorsports. Engine let go about 6 laps ago. Sorry to hear that. There were six cautions for 18 laps. The last caution coming out on lap 66, which was the end of the race anyway. Caution clock expired. Doesn't matter. There were six lead changes amongst five drivers. Your two biggest leaders of the day were John Hunter and Neiman Jack, led twice for 20. And Cole Custer leading twice for 39. He took the most laps led, and he's a Truck Series regular, so he did get a bonus point for leading the most laps. Your Camping World Truck Series outlook is William Byron, your points leader. He's got 5 wins this season. Second is Matt Crafton and John Hunter. Each have 2 wins this season. Johnny Sauter in fourth. Ben Kennedy fifth. Christopher Bell in sixth. Each have 1 win. Daniel Hemric and Timothy Peters rounding out the top eight with no wins. Now, if we go to the points, we look for Cole Custer. He's just out of it. That win would have put him in the chase. So, I could see why he was a little upset at that. I don't know whether, you know, who knows what goes through the driver's mind, but you want to win bad enough, you do what you have. But Custer led the first 30 laps. He was your pole sitter, so I understand why he's a little upset. And then he led laps 57 to 65. John Hunter Nemechek led from 38 to 56, so the battle was heating up there, and Nemechek caught Custer, and on the last lap, and was able to get past him with a little help from his bumper, and hence the close 3/100ths of a second finish. So, if you look at the schedule, the next race up for the Camping World Truck Series is at Loudoun, and that'll be, actually it's Chicagoland, that'll be in a couple of weeks. And that will kick off the chase. So that was the last race before the chase in Chicago. I figure there's only 8 races in this one. So the regular season is over for the Camping World Truck Series, and that's why Cole Custer's a bit upset. That was his last shot to get in the chase. And then they'll go 3 races, eliminate 2, and 3 races, eliminate 2, and then the last race, it's that Homestead for the Ford weekend, will be your top 4. So Vegas, 2 people will be out, and Texas, in November, 2 more people will be out. Actually, Phoenix, 2 more people will be out. Let me see if I'm counting this right. 1, 2, 3. Yep, 1, 2, 3. So, is it 7 races? I think it's 7 races. I'll go to the chase schedule in a minute. So, here's your Truck Series winner, John Hunter Nemechek, and what he had to say after his win.
We're going to go ahead and finish up our post-race media availabilities for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Chevrolet Silverado 250. We're joined now by our race winner, driver of the number 8 Nemco Motorsports Chevrolet, John Hunter Nemechek, and the race-winning crew chief, Jerry Kennan. Gentlemen, congratulations on the win. John Hunter, talk to us a little bit about that finish.
It was exciting, to say the least. I can't thank all my guys enough for all the hard work that they put into this truck. We were fast all weekend. Second in practice, I made a mistake qualifying, didn't make it to the second round. So we knew that we had our work cut out for us today. But our whole talk this morning was about strategy, and we pivoted there early and had to save enough fuel to get to the end. And once I got back to the start-finish line to be able to do a burnout, we were out of fuel. So we definitely cut it very close. But I can't thank all my guys enough, all the masterminds behind this, my dad. And he puts his heart and soul into this to make this program go. And it's very appreciated from my end to him, and I can't thank him enough.
There's your race winner, John Hunter Nemechek, son of Front Row Joe Nemechek. Joe, team owner now, so runs an occasional race from time to time, but pretty much now. Out to Darlington for the 34th annual VFW Sports Clips Help a Hero 200. This is run Saturday in Darlington. Elliot Sadler started third, wound up taking the checkered flag in the One Main Financial Chevrolet. That is a Junior Motorsports owned car. Led three times for 75 laps of the 147 lap event at the track Too Tough to Tame. Seemed like he did a good job taming it on Saturday. Being a Xfinity Series regular, he was able to amass 40 the total points, as opposed to the second-place guy, Denny Hamlin, who is a Cup regular and got no points. Third place, Daniel Suarez, taking third spot. Kyle Larson running fourth, Brendan Poole. Fifth, sixth place, Eric Jones. A couple of rookies right there, Ryan Blaney in seventh. Jeremy Clements in eighth, Brandon Jones ninth, rounding out the top ten, Ryan Preece. There's another rookie, so you have four rookies in the top ten. We have the race was a margin of victory by 4.454 seconds, so slightly under a half a second. Close race there. Sadler led three times for 75 laps. That's the most of the event. So that was a pretty good run for him. He needed to win. There were three cautions for 17 laps. Eight lead changes amongst six drivers. So it was a fairly clean race, hard to believe at Darlington where you only have three cautions, but nonetheless, fairly clean race. Your points as they look right now, Eric Jones leads that series with three wins. Elliot Sadler second. Third is Daniel Suarez. They're the only three guys with wins. Of course, Jones with three, Sadler with two, the second coming yet Saturday. Just then, Suarez with the one. Everybody else is on points, down to the 12. So, Allgaier, Justin Allgaier, Ty Dillon, Brendan Gaughan, Brendan Poole, Brandon Jones, Darrell Wallace Jr., Ryan Reed in 10th, Blake Cook in 11th, Ryan Sieg is making the final cut. And there he is, Elliott Sadler, after taking the win, of course, has to go do the perfunctory press conference in the media center and talk about his finish. So we have audio of that. Here's Sadler.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we'll continue on with today's post-race media availability for the 34th annual BFW Sportfoot Help a Hero 200 here at Darlington Raceway. We're joined by a race-winning team. We're joined by Elliott Sadler, driver of the number one one-man Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports, and crew chief Kevin Mindry. This is Elliott's second victory and 21st top 10 finish in 2016. It's his first victory and sixth top 10 finish in 13 races at Darlington Raceway, and he adds a lot of momentum heading into the NASCAR Xfinity Series chase. Elliott, just describe that final battle out there. That was something to behold on TV, what it was like for you.
It was a great battle. And before I talk about that, I was having a conversation with one of my media friends before the race today, and I was like, I shouldn't miss you guys. I haven't been in the media center forever. I've only been asked to go there one time. I was out to Talladega. I should have missed seeing you guys. And he said, well, you know how to fix that, don't you? Win the race. I said, we'll try to do that. So, I was kind of thinking about that down maybe a couple laps ago. It's probably why I hit the wall. But it was definitely a great race. Kevin and the guys brought me a really fast race car, and we were able to stay in the top two or three all day long. And any time you can beat somebody like Denny Hamlin here, who's very exceptional at this racetrack, to hold off for a win is very special. It's a lot of cool things going on this weekend with our paint scheme, and all of that was going through my head the last 10 or 12 laps, but I think being out front in clean air really helped for us to curve this thing to victory lane.
Kevin, how confident were you in your race car?
Elliott Sadler taking the win. Let's take a look at the schedule. And I think the race kicks off their chase kicks off shortly as well. They'll be opening up for the Sprint Cup Series in Richmond this weekend. Be a Saturday night and Friday night the 9th. Catch that on NBC Sportsnet. Green flag scheduled to drop at 7:30. And now the big picture. The main event of the evening, the Bojangles Southern 500. It was a good one, folks. It was coming down to a battle between Truex, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin. A couple of guys took tires. A couple of guys didn't take tires. It all came down to a battle. It seemed like it was going to be a dull race. Kevin Harvick led five times for 214 laps. But that wasn't the biggest battle. The battle started out when it came down for some green flag stops, and Harvick had a bad one. Came down to the final last couple of cautions on the pit stops, and Harvick having a bad one, having to restart fourth. A couple guys stayed out, Brad Keselowski and Kyle Larson, to kind of set the stage. Larson was able to get ahead. He led for 45 laps. Brad Keselowski faded sooner. He led for 47 laps. Martin Truex Jr. wound up getting ahead of Kyle Larson and then holding off a hard-charging Kevin Harvick for the win. Second place, Kevin. I think this guy's finished second more times than I can count the past couple of years. Past 3 years, to be exact, because he did it in his championship year. He did it a lot last year, and he did it a good bit again this year. Larson faded, but was able to hang on to third. Denny Hamlin was fourth. Joey Logano was fifth. Sixth was Ryan Newman. Seventh, Brad Keselowski. Seventh, Casey Kane. Eighth, Ryan Newman. Ninth, Brad Keselowski. And rookie Chase Elliott, who was up front for a while. He didn't lead, but he was close to the front. Wound up in the top ten. There were 14 lead changes amongst 8 drivers. 10 cautions for 52 laps. A fairly mellow, clean racer. Pole sitter was Kevin Harvick and came up a little short. Probably upset that with his pit crew, because when you're running that good all day, the last thing you want to do is have to battle back just to get second. He didn't get within maybe 5 car lengths of Truex when he did get second, and he was never able to catch him. Truex with the win. It's his second of the year. He takes 2 crown jewel races this season, winning, actually dominating the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte and now the Southern 500 at Darlington. So it's the most wins he's had in a season. He straggled a win in a couple of years. Of course, one was a postponement of a race I was at Dover. It was run on a Monday, and he wound up winning that one. That's the weekend that actress Catherine Bell was the grand marshal. I have an old picture with her on my Facebook page, but that's neither here nor there. Margin of victory was 0.6 seconds. Race took 3 hours, 57 minutes, and 54 seconds, which is pretty good for 367 laps, 500-mile race. You go from the egg-shaped one-miler, one and a third miler, actually, of Darlington to the three-quarter mile at Richmond for the last race before the chase this weekend. Right now, looking at your top 16, Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch, 4 wins apiece. Kez in the top spot in defeating because he has exactly 70 more points. Kyle had a rough couple of weeks. He's in it, though, but, it's experimentation time. Harvick, here's the next crop of seedings down to the eighth, 2 wins each. All separated according to points, of course. Kevin Harvick is third. Carl Edwards, fourth. Denny Hamlin, fifth. Truex Jr., sixth. That win helped propel him from what would have been the eighth spot to the sixth spot. Matt Kenseth, seventh. Jimmy Johnson is in the eighth spot. Then you got your single winners of the season: Joey Logano in ninth, Kurt Busch in 10th, Kyle Larson 11th, Tony Stewart 12th, and Chris Buescher in 13th. Chris Buescher maintaining his top 30 in points overall to team seed. And your last 3, 14 through 16, is Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, and Jamie McMurray. Chase Elliott overall would be 10th in points, but with the win factor, then he moves down. On the bubble, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman is close behind. There is a grand total of 7 points of separation. Newman wound up with an 8th place finish, and McMurray a 15th place finish. There is a grand total of 7 points. It's 1 point per position. And Newman did lead a lap, I do believe. He actually led 9 laps, so that helped. Here's your race winner, Martin Truex Jr., talking about taking the checkered flag, getting back into it, and holding off Harvick, you know, his day, because he wasn't up front for a bit.
We'll continue on with tonight's post-race media availability for the 67th annual Bojangles Southern 500. And we are joined now by today's race winner, Martin Truex Jr., driver of the number 78 Turo Racing. This is Martin's fifth victory in 394th NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race. It's his second win and 11th top 10 finish in 2016. And one of the coolest stats I can read off, this is his first multi-win season of your career. Congratulations on making it to victory lane again here in the Southern Cup.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been quite a weekend, quite a night. So, you know, it's just, it's amazing to win a race like this. I mean, the Southern 500 is just, you know, it's one of the ones everybody wants to win. And, you know, coming in here this week, I knew we'd have a shot at it just based off the way we've been running, you know, this season. But, you know, to finally get it done and bring home the victory and go to victory lane here, it was a pretty amazing feeling. So really, really proud of my team, obviously, for all they do for me. And just can't believe we won here at Darlington. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to open the floor to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We'll start with Pete.
So there was your Southern 500 winner. After all, Martin Truex has been through this year and last year with his girlfriend battling through cancer and all that. Of course, he's friends with Sona Robinson, who's a friend of ours. Maybe I'll try to get her on the show. I haven't talked to her in a bit, but we'll see what we can do. I'm working on a couple guests. Hopefully we'll have some for next week. Sure you're all tired of just listening to me ramble off stats and things. Go give us a call. At 646-619-1899. Now from here we go to wrap up the regular season at the Action Track. The last race before the chase, Richmond International Raceway. Sorry I didn't book somebody from Richmond. There was some things happened over the season, and anyway, I just ran out of time, really, with all that's been going on. So all the coverage we got, usually we used to have somebody from Richmond PR call in, or even the track president, Dennis Bickmeyer, so whoever they get to throw at us, we took. This race last year was won by Matt Kenseth. And they did move the early race this year to the daytime, and that was won by Carl Edwards. That being said, Kenseth wound up seventh in the early race, the daytime race, but Edwards, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Kenseth, all Joe Gibbs drivers were in the top seven to be exact. Last year, Kyle Busch was second. The only one not in the top ten of the Joe Gibbs drivers was Carl Edwards. He was just out of it in the 11th spot. So Kenseth with the win. He was 7th last year. I mean, Kenseth 7th this year, won last year in this race. In other words, sealing the fate of everybody behind them to points if they haven't already won. Of course, he had fourth win last year, so it tied him with Jimmy Johnson. And Kyle Busch for the top seed. He had three guys with four wins last year, which is pretty impressive. This year it's two. It's Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch this year. Now the center thing, which would base my pick, objectively, of course, basing on running. Would have to put it at, have to go with a Joe Gibbs driver. And the only one I think that has that will get it will be driver of the 18. He could use a, not saying with four wins tied for top seed, even though he's separated by 10 points from Keselowski. But I think Kyle Busch, with two straight second-place finishes at the track, I think he might have it dialed in. He did lead 78 laps this past April, and he only led 9 last September. Of course, Kenseth led 352 of the 400 laps. So, and Joey Logano led 25 of those 400, but Kyle Busch got at the right place at the right time. So that's who I'm going to go with. Kyle Busch will be my pick. Anyway, I hope you all enjoyed today's show. Tune in next Tuesday at noon for another edition of Garage Talk Live. Hopefully you'll join us. Wish you all a good afternoon and good racing. We'll see you all next week. Bye now. And if you missed this live version, you can check out our podcast at blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive. It should be up shortly. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Bye now.